Once again, we give you a hearty welcome. I think our brother Keith is right. Maybe we should spend the rest of the week here. We had snow and ice all week up in Massachusetts, and that's what we're heading back into. And we're so grateful again for the privilege of being here in the sunshine in the Bahamas. Now, regarding Jenny Tucker, Elliot's daughter, they were involved in an accident coming back from Florida, and their van was totaled, hit by someone in the rear, and so it's a very delicate operation on the vertebrae, and she expects to go in on Tuesday. She's got a tremendous attitude. We were just thrilled last night to talk to her, and they've come through very, very difficult times of late. Scott has been without a job for 7 months, and now this accident. So they would appreciate your prayers for the surgery on a Tuesday. And shall we turn, please, to two scriptures. The first in the Gospel by Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. I'm reading verse 42. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The second scripture, again in the same book of Matthew, chapter 27. I'm reading verse 19. When he that is Pilate was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, but have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. For the chief priests and elders persuaded a multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will he that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Once again, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. I'd like to examine with you this morning two vital questions. Two vital questions. What think ye of Christ? What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Matthew 22 is a chapter dealing with many questions. There's a question about a wedding garment. Someone trying to get to heaven with their own resources, their own abilities. How come you into the wedding with your own garment? And you cannot get to heaven in your garment of self-righteousness. A question about a garment. And then there's a political question. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God, says the Lord Jesus. Then there's a question about the resurrection, and a question about the law. But this is the question of all questions. What think ye of Christ? If we ask the psalmist this morning, what think ye of Christ? He would say he was a solitary man. He was as a lone sparrow upon the housetop. And oh, how lonely he was as he walked the streets of earth. Lonely. He was alone on the mountaintop while the disciples negotiated the stormy waters of the Sea of Gennesaret. He was alone. He spent all night in prayer alone. As the sower, he went out sowing the gospel seed alone. He was alone in Gethsemane. He was alone in Gabbatha. He was alone on the cross. He suffered and bled and died alone. A solitary man. If we ask the prophet, what think ye of Christ? He would say that he was a silent man. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before her shearers, he opened not his mouth. He stood before Herod, who sealed his doom, the day he executed the beloved John the Baptist, and the Lord never spoke a word to Herod, the silent man. When they reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed his cause unto God that judgeth righteously. The silent man. If we ask again the psalmist, what think ye of Christ? Not only was he the solitary man, the silent man, but he was the submissive man. We read in the book of the Psalms, 40. Sacrifices and offerings I wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Will I come in the volume of the book? It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we turned into John the Baptist, what think ye of Christ? You would see he is the sacrificial man. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The only Savior of sinners is the Lord Jesus. He knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him was no sin. He was the only sinless man. If we ask the Apostle Paul, what think ye of Christ? He would say he was the successful man. Not only the solitary man, the silent man, the submissive man, the sinless man, but he was the successful man. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Men gave him the lowest place. God gave him the highest. His name was the song of the drunkard. God has given him a name which is above every name. Men crowned him with a crown of thorns. God has crowned him with a crown of pure gold and made him most blessed forever. If we ask the angelic host, what think ye of Christ? John said, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the 24 elders, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive wisdom and strength, power and riches, glory and power. Worthy is the Lamb." What think ye of Christ? What is your estimate of the Lord Jesus? What do you really think about his person? If you ask people in general, they would say, well, he was a good man. He did his best. But that is not enough. What do you think of his person? There never was a person like the Lord Jesus. His walk before men was absolutely perfect. His walk before God brought the divine recognition after 30 years of apparent obscurity in Nazareth, where he worked as a carpenter. 30 years of apparent obscurity. When he identified himself with the faithful remnant in the waters of baptism, God could not contain himself that day. His heart was showing an unparalleled joy. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Sanhedrin, "This perverted the nation, this speaketh blasphemy." And God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There never was a person like the Lord Jesus. What do you think about his person? That question you must answer to God. Is he just an ordinary man with ordinary accomplishments? No. He is the greatest man that ever lived. What think ye of his person? The Greek said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." They recognized there was something special about his person. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." They made the right appraisal, the disciples. What do you think of his person? What think ye of Christ? Again, my friend, this is the question of all questions. We're not dealing with politicians. We're dealing with Christ. What do you think of his person? Preaching once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the dear man went out choking with emotion. He says, "I love that bonny man." I knew by his accent and his terminology where he came from. "I love that bonny man." Wouldn't it be interesting if we put a piece of paper to you this morning with a pencil or a pen and asked your opinion about his person? It would be a very, very interesting occupation to review what you think personally about his person. Let me ask you again. What do you think of his passion? Not only his person, what do you think of his passion? Have you ever given any thought to what he did at Calvary for a rebel like you and me. We were good for nothing. All of sin and come short of God's glory. What do you think of his passion? He had to die in order that you might be saved. There was no other avenue. He must needs die, bearing shame and scoffing ruin. In our place condemned he stood, sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah for a Savior. One of my favorite little illustrations, the great artist Stenberg was walking in the street one day in Dusseldorf in Germany. Skipping ahead of him was a little girl. And he thought immediately she was a gypsy, that he would indeed do a painting on this gypsy girl. Invited her to his studio and went through the production. Finally, she saw on the wall a painting that was unfinished, but it was obvious what it was, a man hanging there upon a cross. She said to Stenberg, he must have been a very wicked man to have died such a death. No, said Stenberg, he was the greatest man that ever lived. He died for the world. She says, tell me, sir, her name was Pepita, tell me, sir, did he die for you? And Stenberg dropped to his knees, and he admitted before the Lord how stubborn he was, and accepted the Lord as a personal Savior. Immediately went to work to complete the painting on the crucifixion. And underneath the painting, he put these words, this I have done for thee, what hast thou done for me? Going through the art gallery was Count Zinzendorf. He saw the painting. He saw the challenge, this I have done for thee, what hast thou done for me? And that's the challenge, beloved, to you and to me this morning regarding his passion. This I have done for thee. What hast thou done for me? He became one of the greatest missionaries of all time, Count Zinzendorf. It's a challenge. Have you given him your heart? What hast thou done for me? What do you think of his passion? Does it mean anything to you? If it did, you would say, Lord, thanks. Thanks for dying for me upon the cross. And that is the foundation of salvation and eternal life. What do you think of his person? What do you think of his passion? What do you think of his power? He is the only one that can take us from the kingdom of Satan and transfer us into the kingdom of God's Son. To take us from darkness to light. He's the only one that can make you a saint and a priest in God's family and to be an heir of God and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus. He is power. We've seen lives transformed through his power. Men, women, renowned for their sin and for their iniquity. People who are self-righteous, no matter the category or the degree, the Lord has the power to save. Jesus alone can save. He can transform your life, make you acceptable to God. His power. He was a thief about to die. He was a very wicked man, a murderer, an insurrectionist, a blasphemer. Could God ever save him? Yes, you know the result. Both he and the other thief railed on Christ. But when he saw the deportment of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, that blessed man, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," in a change of attitude. And that's what conversion is all about. It's a change of attitude towards the Lord Jesus. He knew his end was near. He knew he was bound for a lost eternity. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't look like a king. Every bone of his body out of joint. Crown of thorns on a majestic head. Nails pierced, feet pierced, his side pierced. He didn't look like a king. That thief knew that he would rise from the dead when thou comest into thy kingdom. There was Israel crying, the nation, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Get rid of him. Give us Barabbas." He knew that one day the Lord Jesus would take up the reins of government and he would be a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do you think of his power? You've seen people whose lives have been changed. Not by religion, but a living contact with a living Savior. And that is indeed the external evidence of a work in the heart through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. What do you think of his person? What do you think of his passion? What do you think of his power? Another question. What do you think of his position? He's no longer upon a cross and in the tomb, but he sits on the throne. Four times in the epistle to the Hebrews, we see him seated at God's right hand. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy the sight affords. Peter, brother, the first martyr of the church, Stephen, being stoned to death, he looked up, and there was Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now we know that four times again in the Hebrew epistle, he is seated at God's right hand. But I'm sure the Lord was overcome with emotion to see that first martyr of the church, Stephen, proclaiming the wonderful power in the Lord Jesus, that the Lord rose to welcome it home. Oh, the tremendous link between him and his beloved people. And as Stephen entered the royal courts, the Lord standing there, I'm sure he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What do you think of his position? He's the only Savior of sinners. He is the Supreme One. But friend, not only is he a savior, but he is a judge. And if your answer to the question is negative, be assured, go meet him again. Not as a savior, but as a judge. Man is getting away with nothing. Oh, man thinks he's the captain of his own ship. Not so. You're either under the control of Satan or under the control of the sovereign. What think ye of his position? God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man. That man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. No one will escape the judgment. What do you think of his position? God's people will rise in appreciation, and we say, yes, we do appreciate his position. He's the great and the merciful, the faithful, the sympathetic, the perfect, the unseen, and the unchangeable priest. We glory, we rejoice in his position, and that we're identified with him. What think ye of Christ? The second question, in Matthew 27, Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now his wife had a dream through the day. Now normally people dream at night. God was speaking to her. She had an appraisal of this man that Israel did not possess. She gets a message to him. Her husband have nothing to do with this just man. She recognized the perfection in the Lord Jesus. She announced publicly what he was. And I wonder, will we see her again? Nothing to do with this just man. Remember the centurion who gave the command for his crucifixion. You could say, well, such a man could never get saved. But Matthew says the centurion and those that were with him, when they saw what was done, they glorified God and said, truly, this was the Son of God. So here was the centurion and those that were with him put their lives in jeopardy to make such a statement. And the only way that you and I can glorify God is by getting saved. Glorify God. Pilate had a dilemma. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now she made the remark, have nothing to do with this just man. Women generally give their husbands good advice. But this was not good advice. Because it's an absolute impossibility to have nothing to do with Jesus. You and I must have a doing with Christ. In time, or we will have a doing with him in eternity when it is too late. He is the great unavoidable. We must have a doing with Christ. God had a doing with Christ. You're overwhelmed to know that God sent him. He had a doing with Christ. There was no one else could put the plan of salvation into motion. The mighty archangels, Michael and Gabriel, they couldn't do it. The seraphims, the cherubims. But he sent his beloved son. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God sent him. But God smote him. We will never forget Calvary. And we will never understand what it cost God to smite his son. Oh, we can fully understand when we read, God spared not the angels that left their first estate. Many of them are already reserved in chains of darkness, as Jude, and there are others moving around at the command of Satan. Yes, we can understand that. We can understand when we read, God spared not the old world that sinned. The citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah were exceeding sinners. Obnoxious. Repugnant to God. You can understand that. God rained fire and brimstone on those twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can understand that. But oh, it's difficult. But we appropriate it. God spared not his own son. And we should thank him right now. Every one of us. That God spared not his own son. There were many hearts broken at the cross. Remember the virgin, her heart was broken. As predicted by one of all, the iron would pierce her heart. And the heart of the Lord Jesus was broken. Forthwith came blood and water. And so was the heart of God. Awake, O soul, against my shepherd, against the man who is my equal. God sent him. God smote him. And God severed him, cut off, out of the land of the living, like the scapegoat into the land of desolation, in isolation. God severed him, as he carried our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, in his own blessed body. God cut him off, he severed. When he cried, it is finished, the joy bell sounded in heaven, and God seated him. Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he rose from the Mount of Olives, went home to glory. We can almost look into it. And say, yes, God would say, son, it's been a long 33 years without you. I'm glad you're home. 1,000 years is as a day. A day is 1,000 years. But 33 long years away from heaven, walking the streets of earth, and dying upon a cross. God seated him, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Yes, God had a doing with Christ. But the Lord also had a doing with himself. One day he looked down, says the scriptures. In the book of the Psalms, he looked down from heaven to see if there were any that didn't understand. And he found nothing to thrill his soul. None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. All as an unclean thing. He looked down, but that was not enough. Thank God he came down. He came down. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. Born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name. Seeking for me. He came down. But that was not enough. He laid down his life a ransom for sinners. He knew, my friend, there was no other way but to die in order that you might live. The Lord had a doing with himself. Remember Israel and the Roman soldiers, they had a doing with Christ. Israel maligned him. The greatest benefactor that the nation ever saw. He fed the hungry, raised the dead, healed the lepers, gave sight to the blind. Is it not this man? But Barabbas. Once again, they'd rather have the son of Abbas than the son of God. They would rather have a malefactor than a messiah. They would rather have a man that took life and the man that could impart life. They maligned him. And Pilate scourged him. His back like a plowed field. And did he bear our sins in his own body on the tree. God had a doing with Christ. Israel, and the Lord had a doing with himself. Israel had a doing with Christ. The Romans had a doing with Christ. But what about you? You must have a doing with Christ. You can neglect him. Put off. Procrastination is the thief of time. The older you get, the more difficult it is to get in touch with God. More people come in by the east gate into the royal city than by the west gate. The rising of the sun, children, young people come in more readily than old people. We saw a man saved at Park in the Farms, 98 years of age. Oh, the miracle, the marvel of the patience of God. But today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can procrastinate. You can put it off. Some more convenient season, I will call on thee. No record of him ever coming or calling upon Christ. You can neglect him. You can reject him. Judas walked with Jesus. He sold his master for the price of a female slave. Committed suicide. By transgression he went to his own place. Oh yes, he had a doom with Christ. But he betrayed his master. You can reject him. There was an actor in the United States called John Belushi. Lived a very, very wicked life. Finally, committed suicide. And I've seen his grave in Martha's Vineyard up there in Massachusetts. The day of his funeral, one of his close friends rode ahead on his motorcycle. And at the end of the service, someone sang a song, "That Lonesome Journey." You can go to his grave today, beer cans, drug paraphernalia all around his tombstone. A lonesome journey. Friend, if you die without Christ, I don't know how the man died, but if you die without Christ, it will be a lonesome journey. But if you die in Christ, you'll have angels as your escort home to glory. You can neglect him. You can reject him. But thank God you can accept him. What a wonderful opportunity right now in this lovely building. If you've never made that move, not a genuine move, why not this morning? Now is the accepted time. 12:05. Now is the day of salvation. And I can tell you, if you make that commitment and accept him as a personal savior, you'll go out of this building the happiest person in Nassau. Oh, we saw people so jubilant yesterday, wherever we went, at the result of your election. They sounded happy. But there's no happiness, there's no joy to be compared with the joy of God's salvation. Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Oh, I trust as we go out this building this morning, we'll be able to see like the man in Pittsburgh, I love that bonny, that beautiful man. And you will be the recipient of God's salvation. What think ye of Christ? What shall I then do for Jesus, which is called the Christ? Shall we pray?
Lord, the eternal Son of the eternal God, born before foundation in this world, we'll live throughout the endless ages of eternity, and we long to see him. We won't see him as a babe, but we long to see him face to face. We're told that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We ask that thy Holy Spirit will take the words of the scriptures read and thrill our hearts with the wonder of the birth of the eternal Son of the eternal God. We pray now, our God, that this Christmas season may be the most thrilling Christmas ever for everyone in this room. For any that know not Christ, that they may accept him as their personal Savior, and for those of us that do, that we may be thrilled again with the thought of what he did for us, and may our lives be changed as a result of this thrill. We ask it now as we give thee thanks, asking to part us with thy blessing. Give us safety on the road as we return to our homes. Bless the sing time together as well. We give thee thanks in his name. Amen. Amen.